Am I alone here? Must I do this myself? So be it.
Shiny!
Quest Gaming Networks presents Dungeon Crawler. All the loot hunting tips, tricks, and commentary your instance adventure can handle. Welcome to episode 1 of Dungeon Crawler. Tonight's record date is October 13th, 2012. Hi, I am your host, Dave, D-Enforce Adams, and I have two guests with me tonight. First one is Joe, the Widget Wilson.
Hey, hola. Joe. ¿Cómo está, Dave? Muy bien, ¿eh?
¿Cuántos hermanos tiene? I have absolutely no idea what I'm saying.
Tacos, nacho.
Yeah, grande. Grande. All right.
Grande.
Welcome, Joe. Glad to have you here tonight for the premiere episode. Also tonight, we have Fred, Master of Dirt W.
That's right. I just crawled out of my mud hole, and I'm back again. Oh, well, God. For episode 1. Take 382.
Yeah. Hey, Fred. Glad to have you both here. And, you know, I'm actually looking forward to getting into this. I've been so excited. I've been almost sick today with excitement.
Well, this is the first of the new shows and the new layout that we're rolling out. So this is an exciting time, Dave.
I've been, like, walking around my house going, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Just, like, all day long. It's been crazy.
Dungeon Crawler.
So really? Excited for this.
I don't know if you got your pamphlet about this new layout, Dave, but did you see that there's a new requirement that we have to wear pants while we podcast now?
You know, I actually got a injunction for that to where I don't have to wear pants while podcasting.
Oh, see, I don't have that kind of pull, so I had to contact.
You know what it is? I have blackmail on Joe.
You guys get a kick out of making me look bad, don't you?
Well, I mean, we don't really have to try.
Oh,
you wanted me on the show, right?
I know. Girls, settle down. Let's get in. First off, let's actually get into the sponsors. That way, I can bring us right into the show. Do want to say, actually, Fred, take it away. I want you to talk about our sponsor today.
This week, we're brought to you by Tweaked Audio, the maker of some of the best earbuds in the world. And if you need a good pair of solid quality earbuds with a lifetime warranty, you can go to tweakedaudio.com and plug in the code off the record, and you'll save 33% on your entire order.
Cool. Thank you very much, Fred. All right, let's actually get into what we did this week. But first off, you know, there's that buzzing question about what exactly is a dungeon crawler? And I know that we actually, Joe sent me a list before the show even started. Where is this from? From giantbomb.com about the list of different games that could be considered dungeon crawlers. And it looks like there's a sort of a wide definition of what you could call a dungeon crawler.
I guess they're about 20% correct.
they sure love to identify any game where you walk through a dungeon as a dungeon crawler. But I gotta be one to say that I don't consider a game a dungeon crawler if when you get into a fight, the game stops, then reopens a battle scenario for you to choose skills to use against an opponent. Instead of actively moving through the dungeon and just fighting an enemy. So I guess if we wanted to identify what is a dungeon crawler, I'd have to say it's a roguelike game. Usually isometric, which means you look straight down your character, but not always. Usually it's where you physically walk through and hack and slash and spell cast your way through whatever enemies that are in a dungeon to get to the very end, where there's usually a special little snowflake lollipop or whatever at the end that makes you happy, you know, gold chests, whatever it be. That's sort of what a dungeon crawler is for me. And no, Fred, we're not going to consider Pokemon a dungeon crawler.
You know, I was also thinking, Dave, another great rated class, another game classification to put in with this show that you might want to consider is something like a general tower defense. Those are, it's a newer genre, but it's becoming more and more popular. Something like Orcs Must Die.
You know, I have Orcs Must Die. I also, I have a few tower defense games.
And they have a very dungeon crawler almost feel.
Yeah, there's also, what's the name of that one? Dungeon Defenders.
Mm-hmm.
Which effectively, some character classes are played exactly like you would play a dungeon crawler. Where it is a hack and slash, run around the dungeon, stab things that come at you.
So if you wanted to cover that little bit of nugget called tower defenses, see. I mean, yeah it's up to you, man. See. But I just thought about it now, or I would have contacted you prior.
It's fine. No, if we get, I want people to hear that. If you're wanting to hear us talk about, you know, games such as Dungeon Defenders and, you know, other tower defense games like that that could fall in the scope of what we're trying to go for, definitely send us in an email. Which we will give away at the very end of the... You know what I'm giving away right now, too? It's dungeoncrawlerpodcast@gmail.com. So, definitely, if you'd like for us to cover anything that we're not covering on the show, send us an email and be like, hey, bro, we want you to talk about this, too. And I'll be like, maybe.
Rob's gonna send us an email?
Yeah. After he moves his couch.
Exactly.
And I guarantee you, if you gift us the game in Steam, it will be talked about.
Oh, definitely. Speaking of Steam gifts, and I want to get this out of the way because I'm so excited about it. Someone here sent me a Steam gift of a game called Titan Quest. And I don't know if anyone has heard of this. I hadn't heard about this until like right before I was gifted the game on Steam, which, by the way, thank you, Fred. But
you're welcome, Dave.
This game is beautiful. I'm in love with Titan Quest, and it is just, the game's visuals are quality. They are very, it's a very good visuals for most dungeon crawlers as well. I'm really in love with the talent trees of this game. It's very intuitive. That's how they put these together. Apparently, there's even a expansion for it, but I haven't even gotten to the expansion yet. I'm just too encroached in the main game.
The expansion that you tried to convince me was a standalone game all on its own.
You know, you should never listen to me. You should learn by now. You don't listen to me.
That's how that went. We were recording our Minecraft show, and I asked Dave, I said, have you ever heard of Titan Quest? No. Well, it's on sale on Steam today. So I bought a couple copies. I sent Dave a copy. And it came bundled with the expansion for it. Mm-hmm. So then, 5 minutes after telling me he had no idea what Titan Quest was, he goes, oh, it's not actually an expansion. It's another game.
Well, it is. On Steam, it shows it as a completely separate game, not a DLC or an expansion, but it shows it as a completely separate game. By the way, didn't you even look? You looked at the size. You said the size of the games, the expansion was bigger than the original. It was an honest mistake saying that, you know, I thought it was its own standalone game, but honestly, I'm having so much fun with Titan Quest, I haven't even thought to install the expansion yet.
Well, I just let them both download when I went to bed that night, but I've only gotten a little bit of playtime on Titan Quest so far, but it seems like it's really solid, and it reminds me a lot of the Diablo games, but more mythology-based.
Yeah, it is, definitely. It is very mythology-based. It's totally that Greek kind of Roman feel to it. And, I get a lot of people want their fantasy a lot more separated from historical fiction, but it is a very well-put-together game. Let's see, what else have I played? Before we actually get into the juicy bits, I Borderlands 2. Do you want to talk about Borderlands 2, guys?
I've been playing the living snot out of that game for the last 2 weeks, man. Holy crud.
Before we get into this, I want to say that Borderlands 2 could be categorized as pretty much every game in every category, so we need to tread lightly.
Its major classification is first-person shooter.
Right.
But it also has heavy RPG elements, which is a secondary classification. Its third and final classification is a minor elements of dungeon crawler.
Yeah. I'm in love with Borderlands. I played the hell out of it. I thought it was a great game. I totally give it a 10 out of 10 for anyone who's a fan of any shoot 'em up or even Diablo or any other dungeon crawler.
What I thought was interesting, Dave, is that Giant Bomb and their little list they didn't mention Borderlands at all.
Yeah. Did
that
you notice that?
Off. Yeah.
They were missing a few of my favorite dungeon crawlers, which kind of upset me. But yeah, they didn't have Borderlands on there at all. Which, I get that Borderlands was kind of the, silent hit for the original. Silent. But
I think it made waves when it got released.
Well, but everybody kind of, like, any critic that rated the game rated it horribly.
Yeah, and it came out to be a giant hit. The sequel was, like, even bigger.
Exactly. That game was surprisingly good. First off, I hate the art style normally, but in that game it works.
It works very well.
I'm not really a fan of shoot-em-ups where, you don't have a set-in-stone guns that you use. That one has completely randomized guns, and they're amazing.
It's actually a formula behind it. But yeah, they're random on how and when they drop. I love it.
It is a very good game.
I'm terrible at that game.
I could go for hours. I have a level 42. He's halfway through the second playthrough. Or it's they call it the true, what's it called? It's called true Vault Hunter mode.
Yeah.
I got my Zero, my assassin. He's that. I have a level 12 Mechromancer. As soon as it launched, I had to play it. And then in my PC version, I have a level 26 commando.
See, I the only classes I've played on the PC version are my Siren, which I've only gotten a few levels into. But I've been heavily playing my Zero, which is the assassin. And I've already got him into True Vault Hunter.
We're going to be talking about this game big time on Tuesday night, man.
Oh man, I'm looking forward to it.
But the thing is, though, is that the only real true quality of Borderlands 2 that can match a dungeon crawler feel is the loot classification. However, that also falls into generic RPG as well. Even though that loot classification originally came from dungeon crawlers, it's also being adopted by RPGs.
Well, no, so you're looking at it wrong, Joe. Let me tell you how my play style in Borderlands 2 went.
Okay, let's hear this.
Now, I bought the PS3 version because, as I've mentioned before, the only games I had for PS3 were originally PS1 and Super Nintendo games. So it's like, I'll get Borderlands 2 and actually make some use out of my giant TV. So I started playing this game, and I run out of ammo all the time. And I'm playing that Zero guy. So the majority of the time, I find myself swinging my sword to kill people.
Good.
Like, I'm out of ammo every time.
Have you ever learned how to upgrade your storage deck? They call it the SDU?
No, and I can't figure out how to open my backpack either. I made the mistake of trading some guns with Paige, and then I couldn't figure out how to equip a gun, so I was running around unarmed, stabbing people.
You're playing on PlayStation 3, right?
Yes.
It's the select button, dude.
Well, I pressed the select button, but I couldn't figure out how to open my backpack. I did select and start, and I tried all the different buttons.
You press R1 to cycle between the different tabs up top.
Okay.
R1 and L1, and you just go to your... It has an inventory tab right next to the map.
Oh, nice. I just figured once it was in the backpack, it was just lost forever.
Yeah, I'm assuming you haven't been to Sanctuary yet, so...
What level are you in that game?
Following the annoying robot around, and pretty much my game came to a standstill when I got to Boom and Boom.
I love those guys.
He hasn't gotten a sanctuary yet.
Not even close, man.
I've been ganked by what appears to be hobos while trying to kill Boom and Boom. I keep running out of ammunition.
No, they're psychos!
Yeah, they're psychos.
Ah!
Tomato, tomato. Anyway, so these hobos attack me, and then I'm stabbing the hobos to death. And then I go out there to shoot Boom, and he hits me with, like, I don't know, a cannon or something, and I die with, like, two hits.
Well, yeah, because that's when there's a whole bunch of cover everywhere.
You're supposed to just, like, shoot him off of the big cannon.
You gotta blow up the cannon. Oh, we gotta take cover, blow up the cannon. You can take care of Little Boom first. That's the first thing you gotta do. Get rid of that little pain in the neck. He's not near as hard as the other Boom to kill.
So I pose the question, how do you blow up the cannon with a sword?
You gotta have weapons for that.
Yeah, ammo. You equip a gun first.
Do you know how to buy ammo from the vendors?
No.
There's an ammo vending machine, and if you go back to the first town you get to, right by the hut where that that Crocodile Dundee wannabe with the robot arm is at, there's an ammo, it says ammo on it, and you just go in there and you can buy ammo.
Yeah, they're called ammo dumps.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my girlfriend wasn't much help either because she kept wasting her ammo trying to shoot that little robot.
You know, that's not much, that's not actually a waste of ammo.
Hey, Claptrap is my second favorite character in all Borderlands.
Yeah, Tiny Tina rules.
Tiny Tina, I am a huge fan of. Sorry.
No, honestly, there's nothing wrong with shooting Claptrap.
Get that sweet ass badonka dunks.
Yeah. And there's a reason he's called Claptrap, I imagine.
Yeah, he's, what is it? CL4P something?
PT, yeah. Alright, let's see. What else is there this week? I got into Diablo 3, played the auction house a lot. I don't know about y'all, but I haven't really been playing Diablo 3 in-game because I'm looking forward to 1.0.5 coming out.
And you know, that patch coming up might actually get me to play it again. I haven't played it in 3 months since I realized that my stupid monk was too weak to get past hell mode alone.
Yeah, they ruined the monk.
It's couldn't even get past the second act. I was like, you know what, screw it.
The monk is actually getting hit even harder when this patch comes out. They had this big forum post that has been kind of blowing up recently. They released a statement saying something along the lines of, we feel that the monk is in a good place right now. And then 600 posts and 12 hours later, they send another statement out saying, oh, I guess we were wrong. So there's look forward to some changes coming to fix
them.
You
mean like
in
Cataclysm when they said that we feel the healer is in the right place? And oh yeah, yeah. That killed Cataclysm?
Yeah, Cataclysm was horrible.
Wow, what happened? Did Blizzard pick up all the ex-WOTOR customer service people?
Ha! Oh, that's bad. But, you know, the 1.0.5, a lot of very good changes are coming through. I don't know if y'all have actually been listening to Diablo Off the Record, which was our predecessor. But it's called Diablo Off the Record. Thank you, Fred.
Jeez, what was it, a newspaper?
It was something like that. We went in depth on monster power, which actually increases the difficulty of the game. One thing that they did add over the past week is monster power in Inferno. In addition to increased experience, magic find, and gold find, whenever a monster dies and drops an item, normally, whether it be gold, a potion, or a piece of gear, the monster also has a chance to drop an additional bonus item. The chance to drop a bonus item will scale up with each monster power level as detailed at Diablo3.com's blog for monster power, more guts, more glory.
A problem I have with Diablo 3. Okay, bear with me on this, Dave. You can counter argue it if you like.
Yeah, go for it.
But in my opinion, a dungeon crawler shouldn't focus on end game. There's no such thing as end game for a single player based game. I know that you can have people play with you, but even going to the different game modes, you're still playing the same game, just a little bit harder.
Yeah.
Well, a lot harder in some cases. So-called end game and trying to make it more end game viable by adding these, like, 100 of those, what are they called? Where you can get 100 more
levels.
Yeah, paragons. To me, that's just, wow, how bored can you be?
Well, the problem is that they catered to the Diablo crowd right off the bat. They handed out free copies of Diablo 3 to anyone who bought a year of WoW, which probably was the worst possible thing they could have done, in my opinion.
Well, they wanted to sell a year copy of WoW because the numbers were dropping like mad in WoW, and that was actually happened. They announced that just before, a month or two before, they had to release their quarterly numbers.
And it pumped them back up.
Marketing point. Yeah.
It was, but that brought in a problem. It brought in the people who expect the in-game from WoW in Diablo.
That's just stupid.
And that's not a dungeon crawler. Dungeon crawlers, you don't have that in-game like you do in an MMO.
I like to go in and beat my dungeon crawler when I have beat the game, where I can just pick up another character and play it again if I want to and beat it again with a different play style because it's a different character class. To me, that's what a dungeon crawler is. I like to go through for... spend 3 to 4 months beating the snot out of it, and then like, okay, great, I'm moving on to my next game. I don't want to be like, oh, I have to get 100 Paragon levels. Oh my God, I'm going to spend 9 hours a day for the next 2 years doing it.
Yeah, well, effectively, that's the problem that's happening. The problem is that people are expecting you to be able to gear out, become gods, and then be able to just farm the in-game as if it were an end-game.
So now, basically, it also gives me the impression, sorry, Dave, it's kind of trying to be like a job so they can put it on the real money auction.
Yeah.
Which again, I think was a bad idea, too.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the real money auction house at all. I use it to sell things, but I'm not a fan of it personal use. What's up?
I actually think that that's one of the reasons why they're trying to make a viable end game now is because they gave away all the free copies of the game. They're trying to recoup their money through
the... Why? It's not a subscription-based. So they're not getting any money by doing this.
Well, that's what I mean, though, is they're trying to keep people in the game so people will utilize the real money auction house.
I see where you're going.
Some of their money.
You're right. Yeah. I get that.
The thing is, though, is that they have added difficulties to the game, basically. They're adding difficulties. For the people who say, oh, well... I'm so good now because I bought all my gear off the auction house that, you know, I can beat Inferno with my eyes closed. Well, those are the same people from WoW who, you know, 4 days into an expansion have already cleared all the raid bosses and stuff like that. The people who sit down and in 2 days get to Paragon level 100.
What they call the race the world first.
Yeah, that's
syndrome.
They have actually put in difficulties into Diablo 3 that are so ridiculous. And they released the numbers this week just to let me talk about this, so thank y'all. But these numbers are so ridiculous that it's not, you know, hey guys, here's some bonuses for you. It's more along the lines of the Diablo 3 developers saying... okay, we've made it so difficult at the very end that there's no possible way you're going to be able to rationally do it solo. I love that. This is, you know, them thumbing their nose at the elitists who dare say that the game's too easy. It's now become, if the game's too easy for you, it's your fault. And I love that. I love that the developers did that. That's hilarious. But there are a few things that came from this. As I said just a moment ago, there's a bonus item now, which has been added to the Inferno difficulty monster power. Depending on how high your monster power is, normal monsters have a chance of dropping an additional item, which is something that even Magic Find has not added to the game. So that's pretty neat. It makes it
I'm looking at the chart
valuable.
You put in the notes.
Yeah, if
you
see
kidding me?
Monster health at monster power 10, which is as high as you go.
3,439 health percent gained?
Yes.
Holy.
Wow. Dude, I went into it on my barbarian, and I was like hacking and slashing at this zombie in Act 1 of Inferno. I didn't bring its health down at all. It had like 29 billion health. It was hilarious.
That's kind of like that first zombie you see in Act 1 before you even get to town.
Yeah.
It becomes actually the first boss.
definitely does. But another talking point I want to talk to you about. You're saying about all these people who rush to level 100 Paragon. Well, speaking of this week, Azimuth, which is has become the first level 100 hardcore character. You know, we've dealt with Paragons in the past, being able to get to level 100, and this is the first level 100 hardcore Paragon.
Congratulations to Azimuth for having no life.
Yeah,
you must be very proud, sir.
I can't imagine what someone would do after that. That's like somebody who actually is able to do Monster Power 10. If you're able to do Monster Power 10 in Diablo, you have way too much time on your hands. I mean, look at some of these stats. They ramp up from, like, Monster Power 1, which is only increasing health by 150%, which is, like we said, Monster Power 10 up to 3,439%.
I wonder how they got that number. If it's a specific scale they're doing.
Whatever the scale is, it ramps up in a bell curve.
I don't see an actual pattern in this. 150 to 225, okay, 75% gain.
It's a steep upward slope. Look at that. It's almost 1,000. It's 1,000% gained from Monster Power 9 to Monster Power 10 on health.
There's got to be some kind of formula with it, but I just don't see it.
I don't see how someone is going to be able to gear up properly to deal with that. In fact, they actually took away in the past for normal gameplay was that monsters increase damage. They brought that back for Monster Power. Increase damage now. What's up?
Seems like it would have been smarter to make this some sort of a drop-down menu for your game and pick what Monster Power you want it to have instead of making it a stat that you have to gear up.
Well, you do. It is a drop-down.
I thought you were saying that it was like a Monster Power like gear level you have to get to.
No. This is, you select your difficulty, like normal gameplay. You select your, you know, normal, hell, nightmare, or inferno. You pick your difficulty, you pick your act, and then on top of that, you pick what monster power, if any, that you choose to use. You don't have to use this at all. This is completely optional, but because it's completely optional, if you opt in to use it, yeah, you do get some bonuses, but it ramps up substantially with the monster health and damage. In Inferno mode, you're only receiving 10% more XP per Monster Power, at least until, like, Monster Power 5. Then it starts going up, like, to 15 per level. And then...
Then 20%. And then it stays at 20%, then it goes 25% at the end.
Yeah, but even then, it only maxes out at 160% XP per kill, where, effectively, Monster Power 10 would take you a lot longer than to kill 2 to 3 enemies in Monster Power 1.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that being worth it on the XP. Especially like stuff like Magic Find. Only 250% at Monster Power 10. Same with Gold Find. Only 250% at Monster Power 10. I don't see that it would be worth it to clear the higher monster powers. I said monster that in the last episode, Monster Power 1 is the, if you're going to use Monster Power at all, Monster Power 1 is where it's at.
Oh yeah, but this is also an E-Peen chart.
It's exactly what it is.
That's all I'm seeing is an E-Peen chart.
It is, that's exactly what it is. And if you don't know what an E-Peen is, that's probably a good thing.
Looks like it's actually built into this is that the gold find doesn't ramp up all that much, so it seems like they're intending for you to spend more on repairs than you're actually bringing in as you get further into this, as a way to maybe remove some of the currency from the economy.
Yeah, maybe. The problem is I'm not a fan of them making you pay for repairs at all. That's just me.
You use that as a gold sink. I mean, when you introduce an auction house, a real money auction house, you have to have some kind of gold sink.
Yeah, you definitely do. But, you know, just looking at this chart, it's obvious that the higher difficulties of monster power are not going to give you the same yield as using no monster power or monster power 1. I cannot justify using anything past, I could say, monster power 6 and above are just ridiculous. I even played in a little bit with Monster Power on the private or the public test realm. I could survive Monster Power 4, but it slowed me down so much that I could have been in Monster Power 1 just cleaving through everything and had fields of rare items. in comparison to the higher difficulties of Monster Power, honestly, the only benefit I could possibly see to Monster Power would be if
Bonus
you're
item.
collecting either bonus items, which do ramp up to 100% at Monster Power 10, or the if you're going for the Hellfire Ring, which is from the special event that they're adding with 1.0.5, which by itself will take tons of collecting.
I noticed that the bonus item thing is that doing just Monster Power 1, you might as well just, you
Not
know,
have it.
pull your hair out. Yeah. But when you go to the Monster Power 6, like you said, you have a 1 in 2 shot.
Yeah.
Which that makes a lot more sense than trying to beat your head against the brick wall with 10 for 100%.
Yeah, it ramps up about, I would say, roughly 10% per. It actually isn't. If you see the chart, it goes up for like 1% at Monster Power 1 to 8% to 17 to 26. I mean, but honestly, you could just say it's roughly 10% per. But I would say that you could be at Monster Power 5 or 6. If you're able to farm there, you're going to actually feel that benefit of the bonus item on your character. But unless you're going to Monster Power 5 or 6, I wouldn't say that going any further than that is worth anything except making yourself feel better at night. You know, if that helps you not cry into your pillow, then that's what you need to do is go higher than that.
So, Dave, do you think that it was worth it to add in a system like this rather than maybe just adding another difficulty setting past Inferno that dropped better loot that was really hard?
Honestly, this is the best route they could have taken, in my opinion. I feel that already that Inferno is an acceptable end to the game. I don't see why. Now, I played Diablo 1, I played Diablo 2. I lived in a world where Hell Mode was the best you got. Inferno is
Well,
going above and beyond.
I was thinking more along the lines of where they're saying that the highest difficulties of this, you won't be able to do it solo. So adding maybe a difficulty mode past Inferno where you have to do it with other people. Inferno's the furthest you can solo in the game, but then beyond that, you need other people.
Well, I don't think that a dungeon crawler needs to be forced to be party oriented. I think you should be able to solo it. This game wouldn't survive if it forced you to be in a party at all times.
I love soloing dungeon crawlers. It's my favorite way to do it.
Yeah, definitely.
Dungeon crawl is always in my kickback style gameplay.
Exactly. If I want to not talk to people, I play dungeon crawlers.
Yeah, like I have this gaming mouse that I have a whole tons of mappable buttons. Like with Torchlight 2, I have all my hotbars mapped to my buttons. I can just sit back and play the entire game with just one hand.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of Torchlight 2, guys, do you think it's Torchlight 2 time?
I'm always up for Torchlight 2 time.
Nah.
Nah. Okay, let's do Torchlight 2 later. No, let's get into it now. All right, guys. So the next big question, what is Torchlight? I know that it's a big question. I've actually one of my friends has been, you know, he asked me, what is Torchlight? Well, it's kind of difficult to explain. It's sort of, if I had to say it's close to any dungeon crawler that I've played in the past, I gotta say
Think.
it's closer to Diablo 2.
I say, yeah, think Diablo 2 with more colorful graphics.
Yeah, it's Diablo 2 with a, I'm gonna say it's Diablo 2 with a few extra bonuses that you see from other dungeon crawlers around the world. Let's go into some of the bonuses that I definitely saw when I was playing the game that I loved, and that was. The first one was that when you walk over gold, you just pick it up.
Yeah, that's always pleasant.
That's always pleasant. Another
I
big
love being
thing.
able to shift click my pet to an item so they can just pick it up and my I know you don't care for the pet, Dave,
Yeah,
but
I
that's one
don't.
of my favorite parts of the game.
You know
I
what
love the pet.
the thing I do love about the pet that honestly is just amazing is that you can send him back to town to sell your items for you. As
And
well, you can send him to buy items for you.
yep. So that's why I have him, like, if you shift click on an item, he'll go there pick it up for you. So all the greens, he picks all of them up for me. And when I'm done, I just send him into town for 2 minutes. He sells everything, brings back what I need, like dynamite for fishing holes. And I love getting the fish to transform into spiders and crabs and things like that. You get there. I've seen my pet, my little ferret, take out 6 enemies by himself.
See, now that's the part that I don't care for the pet. I don't really like that he is able to deal damage to enemies.
It was a rare fish that made him powerful enough to do that. But yeah, I mean, they can. That's the whole point of the pet, and I like that. I have an ankle biter that runs around with me. I love it.
Yeah, because if you don't want to, you don't have to give the pet any fish. You could just play it by yourself. Just have it there, kind of like a little passive thing just to sell your stuff.
And yes, you can turn into passive. He doesn't have to be aggressive.
Yeah, I probably would like to play him better like that. Anywho, so what classes are y'all playing? Like, I'm using the... I played a little bit of my Alchemist. I played a lot on my Engineer.
Alchemist?
My Engineer was great. Is that what he is? No, he's not an Alchemist. He's a... God, that's
the
Torchlight one.
Outlander?
No, the
Ember Mage?
Ember Mage, thank you. Yeah. Ember Mage. Ember Mage is hilarious, by the way.
That's the only class I have not played.
It's a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun.
I was playing with Dan and my Outlander. And he plays an Ember Mage. It's entertaining to watch him play it.
The spells are a lot of fun to do, and I'm thinking that's gonna be the class that I end up bringing to max level.
It really is
a lot of fun. I know. De-enforce the mage? No, do tell.
Really? For as long as I've known you, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's what made me really surprised. Your whole thing in Diablo 3 was you did the
Yeah, my wizard was the last one I leveled up.
That's just kind of
which,
shocked me.
Which, by the way, I was addicted to while I was playing it. I was almost sad that I hit 6.
You can play your barb, but that's all right.
What kind of little cat is following D-Enforce around?
Oh my god. I actually have a wolf. Okay, my berserker has a wolf. My engineer has a cat. And I think my ember mage has a bird. They actually let you have birds.
Yeah, and other different animals that you can get too.
There's some like really ugly fish goat looking thing that you can also use, but I'm not going to use that. It just scares the hell out of me.
Well, I have a cat on my Outlander. There's an orange tabby
named George.
You better believe it. I have a ferret on my engineer. He's my main. He's level 25.
Yeah.
Named Fred. May that little ferret rest in peace. After my ferret that passed away. So, and then I have on my berserker, I got a little one of those Pomeranians.
Oh my
god! It cracks me up. He's named Ankle Biter, so I got Ankle Biter that runs around with Crazy Widget.
Yeah. By the way, the Berserker is amazing. I love that class.
They're fun. But I gotta tell you, man, the Engineer is straight up easy mode.
They're the equivalent
of Barb in D3. They're straight up easy mode. You don't die. All you gotta do is go right in the middle of the tree. There's a robot you can build that heals you, and it takes no mana to cast to bring it out. And that thing doesn't die. So it stays with you for as long as you have it out in the zone. As soon as you zone out, though, it despawns, but it's easy enough to get back. I put a point into it every chance I can get. I haven't died once in 25 levels.
That's crazy. But yeah, the Engineer is like so easy mode.
Yeah, I remember AOE, like, it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Like, I use the slam that you start out with on my engineer. Apparently, every time you get another one of those little circles, like you gain them like by dealing damage, you gain fury or whatever it's called. Every so often you get one of these little alternate energies. I don't know what do you want to call those things. They have a name for them. Anyway, every time you get one of those and you use that seismic slam thingy, it totally shoots the slam off and damages everything in a path for a freaking mile. I'm in love.
Sounds like an ability they stole from some kind of anime or something.
It is ridiculous. I love it.
I did that slam at maxed out once.
Yeah.
On a boss fight that had tons, probably 30 or 40 adds with him on my recent play. And I used that slam once at max level, and it destroyed everything and took half the boss's health.
Oh my god.
Everything was dead in that one hit.
This is how Torchlight 2 went for me. I installed it, and I watched the opening cinematic. Where did you guys watch that little video?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where it talked about, oh, well, like, heroes from the past, they fall and stuff. And then I made my character, which was an Outlander, and I made a little dog that looks exactly like my little Sheltie, although I think it's like a Pomeranian or something. But it's the same color. Ankle biter. Yeah, a little ankle biter, and I named it after her. And so I got on, I started playing. I played for about 10 minutes, and I'm thinking, I wonder what that opening cinematic was referring to. Does your character actually die at the end of Torchlight 1? So then I go back to Steam, and I had Torchlight 1, and I was playing it a little bit in anticipation of Torchlight 2, so I hopped in there, and I've been playing that a lot more this last week because I want to get to the end of the game to see if my dude's going to die. And that's what that trailer was talking about.
Well, I won't say a thing, okay?
You better not.
I won't spoil the fact that they die.
I hate you.
Nice.
Oh, wait, wait, wait. No, I was wrong. They don't die. That's right.
Possibly.
Yeah. Put the toy down, Fred. It's okay.
Nice. So, do you like the dual level up system in that game, which is you gain skill points by not only leveling up, but by actually playing the game and killing enemies, and you gain a thing called fame.
Yeah, I didn't even know what fame was until you told me tonight, so.
Yeah.
I noticed I was getting the bonus skill point.
Yeah, you do. Every time you level up your fame, which is, as I said, from killing named enemies and rares, you actually, every time it levels up, you get a bonus skill point. So if you ever notice, hey, why am I getting a skill point randomly out of nowhere? It's probably because you leveled up your fame. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm sure I'd love to see like 20 emails on this. But every time you level up, you can level up to level 100. So there's 100 skill points there. And then there's 32 to 33 fame points from different fame levels. So there's effectively, you'll be able to get 132, 133 skill points that you can spend in your skill trees. Now, that being said, it only takes about 100 to completely fill out a skill tree. Completely.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do y'all feel about having so many skill points to use?
Well, that's because of how this tree works, man.
Yeah. I have you actually gotten a skill? I'm sure you have. You're level 25. Have you gotten a skill to max out? You know, it has tiers. Each skill, skills at least.
Because it requires a certain level to go to pass a certain point.
Oh, right.
It's like the robot I could have maxed out by now, but like right now I'm waiting. I have to wait another 6 levels before I can put one more point into it.
Yeah, they do. They force you to, you can only use points.
Well, that's the one thing I love about that skill tree is the fact that it's not unlockable tier-based. So you don't have to get up so many points in this tree before you can unlock the next part down below it.
Right.
It's all level based. So I can go to different trees at any time and put points into different skills.
As long as you're the level that it requires, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they all unlock at different times. Like you get to the 3 passives on each bottom of each tree.
You get them pretty
fast. You can have all 6 of them unlocked, or 9 of them.
Yeah.
And open. So, I mean, if you want to put your points in that way.
And I think that offering all those different skill points is actually a really good thing because it offers a lot more replayability to the same class multiple times.
Yeah. It definitely does remind me of a Diablo 2 sort of level up system, except it doesn't force you to get previous skills to get to the ones lower down the line as long as you're the level that it requires.
Yep.
Which is really nice.
Which also brings in the point that you wanted to bring up as well, is the fact that you can only roll back 3 skill points.
Yeah, that...
Well, if you have all those points, that's just the Planet Side 2 model, is you can't respect your character in Planet Side 2 because eventually you'll have everything.
Well, that's the problem, though, is eventually you're not going to have everything in Torchlight. I really
you'll
wish...
You'll have a lot.
You'll have a lot, but you'll not have everything. And, I get it that you're not supposed to have everything, and that's supposed to be the replay of the game, is to that you make a new character and level up with it. But I really wish that there was a way for you to experiment in this game other than making a new character.
Hmm.
Well, they still do updates on the game. There could be a feature added with fan feedback.
Well, you know, I don't mind recreating new characters in this game. I really don't, because the worlds are so random in some places that I remember playing my engineer until level 15 or something like that, and then me and Dan decided to try a land game.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to the same starting areas that I did with my engineer, but I didn't recognize a bit of it.
Yeah, Joe, but with all the great games that you pass up, like all the ones in the Pokemon series that Dave actually plays, he doesn't have all that free time to remake new characters. He just wants to play one character in every one of the thousands of dungeon crawlers he plays and be able to respect them freely.
Well, that's his problem.
Oh, God. that brought a tear to my eye. That was beautiful. Thank you, Fred.
You're welcome.
Now, a few other things with this game. I noticed that there are set items just constantly throughout this game.
I've only seen about four different sets so far, five different sets.
Oh, man, I have a collection of them in my...
Probably for the first, just, I believe in the first few levels, you only get, there's only two sets available to you.
There's a few. There's even some that are random chests that you'll find that are like ghost chests that give you ghost items that are part of a set. In fact, I don't know.
Golden key chest, the portal challenges, those are fun.
Yeah. Have you actually, Joe, have you gone to a vendor and looked and see if they sell? They sell set items.
I have yet to see them sell a set item
for me. I get them.
I don't go very much into vendors because I get so many items from destroying and poning face all over the world of whatever it's called in Torchlight 2. And
the world of whatever.
I got to be honest. I really don't care about a dungeon crawler story. I don't play it for the story.
Man, where's Lou at when we need him?
I know, right?
So I'm like sitting there going, okay, yeah, you're talking, good, next quest, come on. Point me in the right direction, come on. I'm gonna go kill some baddie, I know it, let's go do it.
Yeah, it really is random, though. Like, the game, it gives you a completely different experience, even following storylines.
Oh, yeah.
It completely randomizes you getting from point A to point B. You're still getting to point B. I mean, that's set in stone for the story, but getting there is completely randomized.
Well, and kind of like a big tip to give people for if you're playing Torchlight 2 is to explore the entire area that you're in before you go to the main quest.
I actually made that mistake at the very end of Act 1. You know, I was going through random, just whatever I came across, I would just kill it. Nothing could stop me on my berserker. I was just tearing through everything. And I came across a few different bosses, but I eventually came across one that I just tore up in a matter of seconds and then realized, oh, this was the last boss in this act. I didn't even realize, and I still had a ton to do in Act 1. And it ships me off to Act 2. And I was like, oh, dang it.
Good job, Dave.
Yeah, I know.
But so, you know, there is one feature that this game has that a lot of dungeon crawlers don't, including Torchlight 1. And that's the fact that when you're making a new character, you actually get to customize your character a little bit.
A little bit. Which is just like, what, face, hair, pet?
Yeah, I mean, it's a few different tone options, but at least when you're playing the same class as someone else in co-op, you don't have to look exactly like them. Yeah. And getting to pick a different pet, that's kind of like a customization option also.
Yeah, that helps.
Yep. Because the first one, you only get to pick between a dog and a cat.
Yeah, I was really happy to see a different range of pets you can choose from. I know it doesn't mean much, it's just a look, but still, it's fun. I love seeing a little ferret running around the backpack. Come on, it's great.
Well, even in games like Borderlands 2, I love that they have so many different skins. So if I get into a co-op game with someone else,
that's almost annoying to a point.
Just like them.
Yeah, it gets irritating because I'm a collector. I like doing everything. I like collecting everything that I can come across. And Borderlands is just
the Minecraft head. Borderlands is quite nice.
Yeah, that is.
Cool. I always go after the heads. That's the one that makes the most difference in the character to me. For one, yeah. I'm colorblind, so the clothes, yeah, okay, great. It looks nice.
Don't worry, Joe. Like, even us people who can see color aren't that impressed with, you know, how varied those colors are. Because there's, like, 9 different skins that are yellow on black for the assassin.
I got a purple quality car skin that was actually pretty awesome.
Oh, it's okay. Those all look like turds anyway, so...
Yeah. Yeah, Joe, you're going to have to get on Borderlands 2 with me and help me find that Minecraft head.
Oh, yeah, I can do that. I know exactly what's I've done it 3 times.
Yeah, that...
But you got to get to a certain point in the game before you can go to it, though.
Just let me know off-air how far I need to get. I'll play it.
Will do. You got to get halfway through the game, and that's exactly what you need to do.
Yeah.
Does that robot die? I want him to.
If you shoot him properly, yes. Keep firing.
You're his minion. Yeah, go ahead. Waste 15 million rounds of ammo for nothing.
That every time, man, every time I'm playing with Paige, I'm shooting at stuff or swinging my sword at it, as it turns out most of the time. And she's over there. I'm out of ammo. I'm out of ammo. Why are you out of ammo? Oh, I've been shooting that robot.
I noticed in Borderlands 2, the Borderlands, the story was okay. I didn't really care about it that much. Yeah, I'm going after a vault. Okay, the ending is kind of disappointing. Blah, blah, blah. This, in Borderlands 2, I'm really into the story.
It, you know, it's very engaging, which is really cool for a dungeon crawler like that. For a shoot-em-up like that. You rarely see that with either of those two genres of games. And it really does. It pulls you in. Man, oh my god. The, what was the animal sanctuary?
Yeah.
That, yeah. I'll tell you right now, and I'm saying it on air, I cried like a punk.
I can see that. The last 1.5 to 2 acts are the best in the game by far. It makes that little event in the sanctuary nothing. It's intense. I loved it.
Oh man, I love that game. That I'll tell you, I got this one handgun too, which was just hilarious. It was like the weakest handgun in the world, but it has a buff that says does 3,000 times damage. It was pretty neat. So I really do. I love that game. And well,
that's the difference. Again, I want to bring up really quick, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go for it.
In Borderlands 1, yeah, there was a whole mess of different guns you can get, but they all looked and felt pretty much the same when you shot them.
Yeah.
But in Borderlands 2, there's a whole mess of variety. It's not even funny. All the different guns react differently. It's crazy. The looks, how they... Oh, I love it. It's so much fun.
Yeah, I think part of my problem is that I'm actually getting used to using a controller, too, to do first-person shooter.
It's actually very, very easy once you get used to it. And we got an email about that, Dave. You want
to let's
that
actually...
Now?
Let's. I'm gonna. We have. I still have to hit on... I want to talk about the hard corner, but we'll do that after. I'm going to do the emails right now. Let's go ahead and do the emails.
Do it.
The first one, let's start with the second one first, just to make the first one that much more angry when we get to it. The second one comes up, congratulations on the startup of the 4 new podcasts, which you all good luck on everything that comes out of them. Now, to business. I recently picked up Borderlands 2 for the Xbox 360, and I'd like to share a few things. First of all, I love the game. But there's one thing that kind of annoys me. In my opinion, the game is much more difficult to play with a controller than a keyboard and mouse. I can't seem to be able to get to any precision whilst sniping at any kind of distance, since the sniper scope always sways, and there's absolutely no possibility of me correcting the sway with a joystick. So I make do by getting the sniper that has the least sway rather than the best stats. Oh, and shooting the Bullymong projectiles out of the air, dang, that's hard. Nevertheless, I love the game. In the words of Sir Hammerlock, grab your gun, bring your friends, and set some midgets, psychos, on fire. Your friend, the Dungeon Master, ZZ Corrode.
Can I answer this one, Dave? Because I play on both.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm a big first-person shooter player on both PC and console. And I play on PlayStation 3, which is a far cry difference in controller than the Xbox 360. That's your big problem, is the Xbox 360 controller not very first-person shooter friendly, as much as people like to think it is. But I'm actually a lot more accurate on my PlayStation 3 with a sniper rifle than I am by far on my PC. I am at least 95% accurate. In the Assassin tree, you get at the very far end of the left tier, the sniper tree.
Yeah.
You get critical bonus for every time you critical in a row. And I've gotten my critical, okay, I was at level, say, 28, I think it was. And my average critical was 6,000. I would crit so many times from every single person that I was hitting that my crit got up to 68,000, to where I turned and one-shot a boss as soon as it came out of a door. I didn't miss for 28 times. I can't do it on my keyboard and mouse. I'm good. I'm accurate, but not as accurate on PlayStation 3. So it's really a matter of getting used to the feel of the controller.
It really is. And you know what? I've had a lot of experience with games like Black Hawk Down, which is one of my favorite shoot 'em ups ever. On the PC. I worked
for the company that made it.
Nova Logic was amazing. I'm a big fan of, if you ever hear me talk about it, I'm a big fan of Gears of War. Like a huge fan of Gears of War. I'm a Gears of War fangirl. And that game is just insanely difficult to snipe in. You end up sniping by not even aiming at all. You're more accurate without aiming in that game. So you really just have to learn the ins and outs. And yeah, it's going to suck to get used to it, but you can really get a lot more precision on a joystick than you usually can on a PC that's running, you know, background applications that could possibly give you a lag.
Also, the thing is, when you're dealing with sniper rifles, the most important stat is not the damage, it's the accuracy.
Honestly, each gun, yeah, you make your money off of popping heads.
Exactly. You want to have the higher accuracy for a sniper rifle regardless of damage. A high damage sniper rifle is not always the best by far, trust me. If you get a high accuracy sniper rifle that has a high elemental damage chance, you have one of the top guns in the game.
And by the way, let me just say right now, if I see a sniper rifle with shoots multiple shots every time you fire, it immediately gets trashed.
Yeah, I hate that gun.
Those are horrible.
I want the one-shot wonders.
Yes, if it doesn't fire one shot at a time, it ain't worth using.
I gotta admit, though, I really love the assault rifle that shoots mini rockets.
There's an assault rifle that shoots rockets?
There's a type of assault rifle that shoots little mini rockets every time you shoot it. And there's a... Dan has a purple shotgun that literally fires grenades in three bursts.
Of course Dan has a purple shotgun.
Well, I actually have a bazooka that after it shoots balls of lightning. And after you're done with it, you launch the entire launcher.
It explodes. I love those weapons.
It shoots out like a freaking rocket.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You can... It's like, you know those guns that you fire them, then you throw them, and they explode?
Yeah.
It's a rocket launcher that does that.
That's awesome. Like I said, so many unique games, or weapons in the game is pathetic. Even the grenade mods. I got an epic grenade mod, which is purple quality, on my main character that when it landed, it didn't have like a timer or anything like that, because what it did, as soon as it landed, it opened up and four flames shot out of it and went in a circle for 20 seconds. And anything around it got fried. And I have a grenade that's legendary on my other character, on my PC, my commando, that when you chuck it, it spawns seven mini grenades after the initial explosion. And then those seven spawn another two.
That is, that's crazy.
I can wipe out an entire room.
Now, see, when Dave first read this email, and it talks about this Sir Hammerlock, grab your gun, bring your friends, and set some psycho midgets on fire. Who is this guy, and how did he find out how we spent QGN week?
You should have met him already. That's the guy from that first town you get to.
Oh, this is the guy that had to move the couch and left the network.
Oh, no. This is the guy with the metal arm. Anyway, let's go ahead, and I want to talk about the Hard Corner real quick. We will be keeping the Hard Corner alive for
what
Dungeon
about the other? What about the other email, Dave?
Oh, we're not getting to that for a moment.
Dave, the guy with the metal arm and the Denny's claw hand.
Yes, that dude. We are going to continue the Hard Corner, but we aren't ending it this week. Last week's was Heydrich's Apprentice, and we're continuing on with that this week, but we're extending it one more week. Anyone who doesn't remember, you can only equip gear that you make yourself at a blacksmith. So yes, this only counts for Diablo 3, but there is a bonus. Since we're extending it to another week, we're making it a butcher challenge as well, which means you have to clear the butcher. Or you can also clear a boss from a higher difficulty, and that will count as well.
I was hoping for a Torchlight 2 challenge, Dave.
I'm coming up with a Torchlight 2 challenge. I'll have one for you next week.
What, sweet. When Torchlight 3 comes out?
Yeah, Torchlight 3 will be out next week, so will a Torchlight 2 challenge. If you're undertaking a hardcore challenge and complete it, send us a screenshot of you taking down the boss, which completes your challenge, and send that email to dungeoncrawlerpodcast@gmail.com with the title, I am a hardcore hero, or I am a fallen hero. We may miss your submission and shout out if the email doesn't have one of those two titles. If you have a question about a challenge or just want to review a challenge for that week, go to questgamingcommunity.com and take a peek in. Well, it's still the Diablo Off the Record forum. Anywho,
but it won't be after tonight.
Fred, you're going to fix that for me?
It's going to be Dungeon Crawler.
Awesome. Okay, thank you. All right, let's get on to our final email of the show. Are you ready?
Do it.
Okay, this one says, Dearest Dean and everyone who isn't the lead host. That's you two. Says, am I the first official emailer? Less than three, Liz.
Less than three.
Yes, Liz, you were the first official emailer, but I made you wait all the way till the last end of the show to get called out. So hopefully we can get Liz back on the show pretty soon, get her playing another Dungeon Crawler. That would be a lot of fun. All right. Anything that y'all want to say before we actually wrap up the show and say goodbye for the week?
Dude, I am loving this new show format. I had so much fun already tonight.
It flowed.
It's not really the longest episode we've ever done, but it sure is fun.
Yeah, definitely. Fred, anything you want to say?
Well, Dave, since you don't hate on the Pokemon, you're my favorite person to be on the show with tonight.
There's three of us. Yeah, that's pretty obvious that you're pointing at that, huh?
So, well, I'm here Fred. Also.
I forgot to mention that we are doing a review tomorrow night.
I forgot to mention I'll be working late and have laryngitis tomorrow night.
All right. The only thing I have to say is, you know, I'm having a lot of fun with Titan Quest. I'm hoping and praying that I'm gonna keep playing Torchlight, but most of all, I'm looking forward to 1.0.5 for Diablo 3.
I really want to hear more about Titan Quest, Dave.
I'm going to play the hell out of that.
So I hear about it. Right?
We can co-op Titan Quest.
You can co-op in Titan... Oh, wow.
Yeah,
you got to be kidding.
OMG! Game.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it'll be fun. We'll both be two dudes running around half naked.
We already are two dudes running around half naked.
Yeah, but less hairy. And slightly less obese.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, okay.
That'd be so much better. So
they turned Dark Age of Camelot into a dungeon crawler?
He said less hairy, but the guys are like Italian and Greek. So I'm Italian. I'm furry. So I can't speak toward that. All right, guys. Remember,
so
please
if
take
you doze off in your computer chair. You get a mouthful of your own chest hair.
I really do. I can braid it. I have Rastafarian beads in it and everything. It's wonderful.
You right. Gotta take Dirt Devil over your back.
Please remember, go to any of our sites, that our main websites, and take our radio survey. It takes about 5 minutes. It's vastly more important to our shows than our 5-star reviews on iTunes, but we do love our iTunes reviewers and are willing to give a shout-out on air in thanks for our wonderful 5-star reviews. Remember, paid mentions. For a small fee of only $10, we provide any kind of small ad or shout-out to whomever or commemorate whatever you wish. Birthdays, guilds, neat little hellos to your friends. Please go to our website and use the PayPal donate button or simply email us and we'll be happy to point you in the right direction. You can reach us anytime at dungeoncrawler.mymiddleearth.com. It's our main website. Hopefully we'll have a actual URL for me to give out later. But you can send us in an email at dungeoncrawlerpodcast@gmail.com. Remember, you can also go to questgamingnetwork.com and check us out for all of our other wonderful shows that you love and enjoy. You can listen to all of the Quest Gaming Network shows recorded at livestream.com/thequestshow. The only live show we have going right now. Minecraft is still live, right, guys?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Man, yeah. You don't even know if your own podcast is still alive.
Well, I don't usually watch it when we record.
Most people don't watch it.
Yeah. Anyway. Minecraft Off the Record is Sunday nights at 7 p.m. and that's recorded live at livestream.com/thequestshow. SWTOR Reforged is Monday nights. Elder Scrolls Off the Record is Thursday nights. Dungeon Crawler, that's us. We're on Saturday nights. Adrenaline Gaming. What day is Adrenaline Gaming, Joe?
Wednesdays. We're doing our first episode this Tuesday, though. I'm going to be out of town on Wednesday.
Oh, right. Dang, that sucks. Okay. That's Adrenaline Gaming's on Wednesdays. I'm not going to be able to make Tuesdays. Joe, dang it.
I'm not doing Tuesdays.
You said you're recording
this Tuesday? No, only this next week, because I'm gone on Wednesday.
I want to be on Adrenaline Gaming.
So I'm going to be on Wednesdays after this first episode.
The problem is that Joe hates you.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Quest Legion is, I believe, Friday nights. And do we have a night for Obscure Legends?
It's undecided at this time.
Yeah, okay, we don't have in the planning stages.
Okay, we don't have a date yet for Obscure Legends, but it definitely is in the works.
Quest Legion will be launching on November 2nd.
Oh, we have a date for it.
We sure do.
Oh, awesome. I'm looking forward to that one. That's the Quest Legion will be run by Ivarwin. Mm-hmm. He'll be leading it and discussing RPGs that you know and love.
Yeah, that's certainly sure to be an Ivarwin-y experience.
I was really excited to do this show tonight. I'm even more excited about leading Adrenaline Gaming on Tuesday, man.
I want to be on that. So we could talk about shooting people in the head again Borderlands.
Well, definitely. You got to play some more Borderlands too, and I'll get you on. Probably like episode 2 or 3, and we'll talk all about it.
Oh, man. I'm looking forward to that. I am.
I have, right now, the first episode, though, we have myself, Mike Forney, Derek, a.k.a. Arjun, and Dan will be on the pilot episode of Adrenaline Gaming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. If you want to catch us on Twitter, the show is at @DCrawlerPodcast. That's the number D, Crawler Podcast. You can catch me at @DEnforce. You can catch Joe at @AuthorJRWilson. And you can catch Fred at @SithLordKorv.
K-O-R-V.
K-O-R-V. Yes. You can catch me in-game if you catch me on Diablo 3. You can catch me at Dian1737. That's my battle tag.
Well, if you guys want to catch me on Torchlight 2, my friend name is Widget.
Widget.
Widget, W-I-G-I-T.
We also, I'm getting told that we do have 5-star iTunes reviews that I want to shout out. One from Chris P. from the U.S. Also from the U.S., Kick Ass Jackson.
Beep.
And another from the U.S., Mike B.
I think ass is an okay term to use on a podcast. Still be PG, so I'm okay with that.
Well, do you want me to? I totally have the little comical bleep.
I'm totally, yeah, I think I'm on totally all the other shows, we always called him Kick Arse.
Arse?
Or Kick Arse. A. Jackson, yeah.
Yeah. I may cut that and put it in the bloopers.
Well, I'm going to be talking about Borderlands 2 a lot, so I'm going to have to see either say either BAs or the actual term. I don't know yet.
You might get sued by the Neverland Ranch if you're telling people to kick a Jackson.
You may. You may. All right. Dungeon Crawler is a Quest Gaming Network podcast written by all the different hosts of Dungeon Crawler. And I want to thank y'all for being on for the pilot episode. Thank y'all both.
Mario, my pleasure, buddy. Anytime.
It was great to be here.
Yeah. Remember, a lot of these games are online. A lot of these games, you can be hacked. And remember, never, ever, no matter what game you're on, never give out your account information. If you're playing a Blizzard game, grab a Battle.net authenticator. And remember, install antivirus and anti-spyware software and keep them up to date. Have a great one, y'all. We will hope to see you next week.
Keep grabbing those shinies. Later.
Good night, everyone.
I hate my mute button.
Oh, welcome back, Joe.
Isn't there Dave? Why aren't you listening to me? What the heck, man?
we mute you out either way. What's going on, Joe? Welcome to Dungeon Crawler, Joe. On today's Dungeon Crawler, we're talking about Pokemans.
And the show's over. Have a great night.